He's lost. He's alone. And he's 3 million light years from home. In spring 2002, only in theaters.
I'm keeping you.
Steven Spielberg's masterpiece will come to life.
Home. Home.
For a whole new generation. Experience the mystery.
Wait, what is it?
I don't know. Something scary.
The wonder.
What's happening?
The call.
E.T. Phone home.
That started it all.
Today we're going to talk about a movie called E.T. Maybe you've heard of it. Directed by Steven Spielberg, quintessential 80s film. But what the mainstream analysis won't tell you is that this has a hidden, darker meaning than what the public thought. Yes. We're going to talk about the film today. I'll walk you through the film if you've never seen it. Plot spoilers. Duh. Right? You knew I was spoiling the plot from the 80s movie. We're going to talk about the real symbolism behind the alchemy of man, the evolution of man, fiction becoming reality. Again, the themes I presented in Use Your Illusion 1 manifest themselves in my Use Your Illusion 2 book, where we go through the films that support these ideas. But the big idea, the biggest idea of the film is alien consciousness transfer. Yes. A technology they're trying to perfect here on Earth. You think we've lived here for millions of years and gone through this cycle many times? I'm starting to think we did. I don't know if you saw that. There's like a screw, like a 3 million-year-old screw they found. Pretty sure we've lived multiple civilizations here on Earth. Now, the movie itself. Let's stick to the script here. Is it worth it? Well, I would come at you with maybe, okay? Depends. Depends your frame of reference. This movie is damn near 2 hours long. Spielberg always runs too long. He could have cut a half hour out of this easily. Shame on you. But I would argue that you need to see it from the sense of having a full catalog of film experiences under your belt. Now, funny enough, I'd never seen the movie till 2020. Yes. Weird, right? Well, I grew up in a household with a unconventional family, okay? And they're great, and I love them. Shout out to my family. But we never saw E.T. Because, you know, my pops, rest in peace, he wasn't going to watch this mainstream BS. He was about that action, about the action movies and the horror movies. And, you know, this is a different generation. I know, like, Gen Zs and millennials won't understand this. But I grew up in a household where the kids were there to be quiet. And you just kind of did what you were told. And it was like, oh, okay, what does Dad want to watch? That's what we're watching today. You didn't question that. We weren't watching the Disney Channel? Are you kidding me? We wouldn't have the Disney Channel. If you were going to watch like Nickelodeon or something, you better not have it on when mom and dad were home, okay? Like that's the kind of household, because that's the way it used to be, right? What they always say, kids were meant to be seen, not heard, or something like that. Now, I'm not saying that's a superior way of being brought up. I'm just saying that's the way it was. So, all that to say this, I've never seen E.T. Even though I grew up in the 80s, same with, what's the other movies that will blow your mind that I hadn't seen? Indiana Jones. Never seen them. I mean, I saw them a few years ago. And I watched them, and I thought, and Indiana Jones I watched and thought, my God, these are great movies. Why hadn't I seen these movies before? And it was weird, because all my friends, I go to my friend's house for like a birthday party, they'd be talking about Indiana Jones, I had no clue what they were talking about. I was watching Nightmare on Elm Street. Watching Nancy in the body bag getting drugged through the halls. And you wonder why I'm weird. I don't wonder why I'm weird. I think I'm normal. Anyway, E.T., not as good as Indiana Jones. So that's why I say, is it worth watching? Kind of. I don't think it's like a great movie, though. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's offending a lot of people. I thought it was good. It was a good movie, okay? I wouldn't watch it multiple times, though. But it was great in the sense of, like, the 80s nostalgia. You like Stranger Things, you're going to love E.T. There you go. It was good. It was a good movie. Especially, it hit at a time when the timing was perfect, we'll just say. Now, it was directed, of course, by Steven Spielberg, whom I've talked about before. A controversial show that I had to limit to my supporter audience. I'm very sorry for the people on the free feed. I did it in, was it 2019 or 2020? I did a show, Steven Spielberg and the Illuminati, on, so if you want to hear it, go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher or hit me on the Rockfin. Everyone's on the Rockfin now. That's a big party. Links are always in the show notes. Always waiting patiently for you to join the winning team. But we talked about Steven Spielberg and all his weird Illuminati confirmed connections. So, of course, this is the guy who gave us E.T. with the alien consciousness transfer stuff. The main character, a young boy named Elliot, as the character's name is Elliot, played by Henry Thomas. Henry Thomas, of course, on a documentary on Showtime, I believe it was, about child abuse in Hollywood. He didn't really confirm anything along those lines, but if you read between the lines, maybe. Now, curious enough, Henry Thomas, still acting. He was in The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix, as well as The Haunting of Bly Manor, as well as Dr. Sleep, right? Same director on all those movies. They're all good, though, if you haven't seen them. He was in Dr. Sleep. He was the bartender, Lloyd, who's actually Jack Nicholson's character, the dad in the movie, right? Anyhow, oddly enough, what is interesting is that he was also in Fire in the Sky, which is the infamous case about Travis Walton, who got abducted by the aliens, Close Encounter of the Fourth Kind. Or is that the third kind? I think it's the third kind. No, it's the fourth kind when you get abducted. I don't know, I should know, right? I wrote it in the book. But he plays a minor role in Fire in the Sky. He's actually one of Travis Walton's co-workers down in Arizona there. Another major key alert, Drew Barrymore was in this movie. And you knew she grew up in the Hollywood party scene. She's got a long history of that you can read about. And I quickly was reading up on her. She actually had her first role in Altered States, if you've ever seen that movie. That's a bizarro movie. It was a small role. So E.T. was actually her first big role, and obviously she, you know, blew up beyond that. But she's not a focal point of the movie, really. Now, before we get into the movie, a couple more points, and then we'll get into the movie, and I'll tell you what's going on, in case you haven't seen it, or it's been 30, 40 years since you've seen it. Spielberg said officially in interviews, this film is about broken families. It's about childhood imagination, etc. But look, that's no fun. That's not what you came here for. You don't come here for for the official mainstream narrative. That's what he told the public. That's what he told the sheeple. And then he also said infamously that Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the movie, inspired E.T. And he wondered, he thought, my God, what if aliens were actually stuck here on Earth with us? What would that look like? Fun fact, E.T. was actually in Star Wars The Phantom Menace movie. That would be episode 1, right? The Jar Jar Binks disaster. But anyways, you could see E.T. in the Galactic Empire if you take a close look. You'll see him. Very fun. Now, let's get into the movie. Plot spoilers, you've been warned. Let's get it. The film starts out, and there's two E.T., right? E.T., of course, meaning extraterrestrial. I assume the dear listener knows that. growing up, I always, because I had no affection for E.T., not having seen it, E.T. to me always just meant extra testicle, ha ha ha, funny joke, right? It means extraterrestrial. And I didn't tell you how I saw this movie. Let me tell you, by the way, it was the best memory I had of 2020, the year of nightmares. Me and Mrs. Weishaupt, we didn't go to the movie theater at all the whole year. We went to a drive-in movie theater, being good little sheep, social distancing, in the back of my, sweet Nissan truck, my 2012 truck with the dents, with the rust in the dents. We got in the bed of the truck and watched E.T. and Shrek at the drive-in, and it was a beautiful thing for me, beautiful memory. Why? I mean, there wasn't a lot of people there. It wasn't like a fun environment. But it's just me and my squirrel sitting there under the stars, enjoying this movie, having a couple snacks or whatever. That's what it's all about, right? You gotta keep life in perspective here, folks. Because sometimes when you get into these conspiracy theories and these rabbit holes, it can get real negative real quick. Now, let's get into the movie. Good Lord. The film starts out, there's two E.T., two aliens. They're scoping out the Hollywood Hills, I guess. I assume that's where they're at. And you'll notice that they have these chests that are red. They're light up. They light up red, okay? Now, fun fact, Neil Diamond's song Heartlight is based on the movie E.T. Isn't that crazy? He paid E.T. to use the idea. Isn't that wild? I don't know if you know the song. I'll do a little rendition for you. Turn on your hot light. Let it shine for the whole world to see. That song. That's based on E.T. Isn't that dumb? Well, that's what it is. So we see the two aliens. Some hillbillies roll up in the truck. And they scare off the E.T. You know, this is your messaging. Humans bad. Aliens good. Aliens are just here to help and be nice. Friendly, like your puppy dog at home. Here come the rednecks with their guns, ruining everything. And the ET's run away. The one makes it into the ship, the UFO. The other one, the ET from the storyline, does not. And the ship takes off. It looks like the Glock, by the way. It looks like the Nazi bell. Back when realistically, is that right? Realistically? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Hitler and Heinrich Himmler and all those Nazi occultists were trying to create a time travel device, Die Glock, that allegedly landed in Kecksburg many years later. And I'll put the photos on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. You know the drill. Like and subscribe. Link in the show notes. So yeah, in E.T. you've got Die Glock. Very curious. Now, the protagonist family here has the young boy, the protagonist, Elliot. We're seen inside the household here, and they're having like a little household party or whatever. They're playing Dungeons and Dragons, by the way. Illuminate, confirm, occult. And Elliot, he goes out in the tool shed, and he sees E.T. And he runs back in, he tells his brother, tells his friends, and they go and grab a knife to check it out. Again, humans bad, humans violent. And ironically, the boy who grabs the knife, guess what his name is? His name is Tyler, which we've talked about Tyler in the past, the symbolic meaning of Tyler. It's the guardian of the Freemason secrets. It's also the name of Dr. Dana Pasulka, one of my most popular shows ever, rightfully so. Dr. Pasulka's book, American Cosmic, that had the alien collegiate secret society contact there, and it was an anonymous name, right, based on Tyler Durden from Fight Club. Also note that in the film, when you meet the family, you're like, where's dad? That's gone. He rolled out to Mexico with his new little booth thing, got him a little mamacita, a little boricua. But he's gone. He's out of the picture. He's absent. We got this idea of absentee parents and enlightened children. The children are superior to the adults in these types of tales. Because the theme, the messaging they're trying to convey is that you don't need a nuclear family unit. You don't need to listen to the parents. You need to listen to, fill in the blank, entertainment, the Great Reset, Santa Claus, whoever they want you to believe in. They're like, leave the parents out of this. You come to Disney if you want some information on how to live. We'll tell you the right path. We all know it's the wrong path. We know it's the dark path. So Elliot's like, look, I've seen an alien out there. Tyler, the guardian of the Freemason secrets, grabs the butcher knife, Keelan, and he goes out there. They can't find him. They're like, Elliot, you're crazy. And then later, Elliot, he goes out in the cornfield, and he sees E.T. again. Again, this is reminiscent of M. Night Shyamalan's Signs movie. Have you seen that? Out in the cornfield, that's where the aliens are. And this is where we get the biggest product placement campaign of all time. Reese's Pieces. Now this is, and this is curious because I've talked about the product placements infecting my brain and my subconscious, because every Halloween I want Doritos. Because as a child, they used to have these, because I was always into monsters and stuff, right? And they'd always have Halloween Doritos specials, and man, I'm getting hungry thinking about it right now. Damn, them GMOs got me good. Them GMOs are buried in my brain. But Reese's Pieces is the same thing. I want Reese's Pieces. I never seen E.T., but I seen the commercials. And they used to have Reese's Pieces. I used to get, my old man had a bunch of comic books. Like a box full of comic books he saved. And there used to be in the comics advertisements for Reese's Pieces with E.T. Now, I hadn't seen the film, but I always wanted the Reese's Pieces. Always made me think of E.T. I mean, it's chocolate and peanut butter. It sells itself, but still, you know what I'm saying. But in the movie, it's a form of alien sustenance. Alien food. Elliot. E-L-L-I-O-T-T-E-T and E.T. exchange their candy. We'll talk about the E.T. from Elliot and E.T. The pun, the play on words there. We'll talk about that later. So Elliot, he's hiding E.T. in his closet. Like, okay, so he goes out, he sees E.T. He's like, here's some candy, bro. And E.T.'s like, all right, let's do this. So Elliot takes E.T. home, puts him in his closet. Probably no pun intended there. And he shows E.T. the American way of life. Star Wars, drinking the Coca-Cola, eating the candy. I'm watching the movie. I'm shocked E.T. doesn't drop dead immediately from all the poison he's feeding his mind and body. And later, E.T. starts drinking Coors out of the fridge. He's a beast. It's like a college frat boy diet here. So E.T. and Elliot, they're getting closer. And E.T. shows Elliot where his home planet is. And we get the first indication of a disturbance in the force here. No pun intended. And and Elliot feels the disturbance in his chest, okay? And this is, again, where the hot light of E.T. glows red. Right? And then you find out there's alien hunters outside the home. Hot on the trail. Here come the hillbillies with their guns. So that's where we get a little suspense, as they're building up a little drama. It's going to be the boy showing love to the alien versus the fear-based thinking of the hillbillies. And you first get the indication that there's going to be a connection here through the heart chakra, okay? The heart chakra is green, by the way, not red. But you know what I'm saying. So E.T., he's reading the ABC coloring book, and at this point, he mentally brings flowers back to life. He's got these mental powers. He's creating reality from his thoughts, from his mental emanations. These are the Kabbalistic trope. This is the Hermetic axiom. This is the occult magician. This is all the fantasies rolled into one. the CDs, all the things. All the things are right here. If you followed my Charles Manson stuff, Manson, he supposedly brought a bird back to life with his hands. I'll put the image, again, I got the images up on the Instagram for you. Then we're in high school or whatever, or junior high or whatever this is. And they're dissecting frogs and science. Is this like a rite of passage I never got? I don't know, maybe I grew up in like a weird school, but we never dissected frogs. This is like a trope in every 80s movie. Is this one of those things that never really happened anywhere? Or do people really dissect frogs? Now, E.T., while Elliot's at school, he's home, he's drinking brews, he's consuming American pop culture, he sees UFOs on TV, and that's when it hits him. He's like, wait a minute, that's me. Then he's reading comic strips of Buck Rogers, which was an old alien, you know, comic. And he realizes, oh, I can make a communication device, because that's what they're doing on this science fiction. And they call it a radar on the movie. It's not really accurate, okay? It's more of a radar with an integrated transmitter receiver. That's just the nerd in me talking. Pay no mind. Because he wants to build a communication device. He wants to transmit a signal to DeGlock out in his own planet. Say, hey, come save me. They're fueling me up with cores and Star Wars. Then Mike, that's Elliot's brother, a minor character, so I don't go over minor characters. But Mike, he's talking to Elliot. He's like, look, E.T., he looks sick. And they go through this whole dialogue, and you'll notice how he keeps saying we all the time. Okay? Meanwhile, the feds are listening in because they understand the consciousness element of this whole thing.
Oh, Elliot. He doesn't look too good anymore.
Don't say that. We're fine.
What's all this we stuff?
You say we all the time now.
Really, Elliot, I think he might be getting kind
of
sick.
Look, he's fine, Mike.
Okay. Forget I mentioned it. Grab that Fuzzbuster.
Now, you have to understand, the intelligence agencies, they've been hip to the alien game for many, many years. Going back to John D. 007 himself. So we see the feds listening in because they're like, oh man, these aliens are going to transfer consciousness. And they know all about this through SRI, Stanford Research Institute, Project Stargate, all these things. Uri Geller, all these things that they were studying from the occult sciences. That we talked about in Use Your Illusion 1. Now here we see E.T. back in the closet again. And now some similarities here could be drawn from Interstellar, where Matthew McConaughey is the alien in the closet. He's behind the bookcase. Just an interesting idea there. And Elliot, he cuts himself on a blade in the story. Is this similar to Sleeping Beauty and the fairy tales of, you know, because in Sleeping Beauty, the girl, she's cursed. And she's supposed to die when she pricks her finger and draws blood. And some people claim it's an analogy for a young woman receiving her first period. But now, is this related to the story, a death curse on young Elliot? I believe it to be so, because he cuts himself, but guess who feels the pain? E.T. This is where that infamous glowing finger scene comes in. Elliot cuts his finger, E.T. says, ouch, his finger lights up, he touches Elliot and cures him instantly. This is what a lot of alien abduction experiences claim, is that they have healing powers. But here's where we confirm that they are now sharing a consciousness. They're sharing the heart light. Meanwhile, outside the black van is the feds are creeping. They're creeping on a come up. Right? They're trying to build suspense for the storyline here. Now the kids, they take E.T. trick-or-treating. What ensues is nothing less than a suburban fantasy. What appears to be the greatest housing development ever. A never-ending flow of children dressed up in costumes. 80s McMansion Row in the Hollywood Hills. Houses worth millions of dollars. They don't tell you what mom does for a living, but she is killing it. She's got the OnlyFans money. I don't know what's going on. Okay, they don't tell you. But my God, what a great Halloween block party that is. And this is where you get the infamous scene of E.T. dressed in the ghost outfit, the bed sheet. And they're doing the thing, and then E.T. is on Elliot's bike, and this is where, because they're kind of done trick-or-treating, and this is where the scene happens, where they levitate into the sky. The bike, Elliot, E.T., they all go up in the sky. They go past the moon, the iconic moon shot. We all know that the moon is fake, right? But anyway, they go past the moon, then they're setting up the radar that E.T. read about in the Buck Rogers comic strip. And he starts communicating with his alien home planet. Elliot's sad because E.T.'s trying to leave. But E.T.'s suggests that he's got an ouch. He's got an ouch in his chest. And he's like, look, I have to leave, Elliot. I'm leaving. I have to go. I'm dying. So E.T.'s trying to leave. Elliot's sad. Elliot's immune system is now compromised from his sadness. So he starts coming down with the COVID. And E.T., he disappears. They don't know where he's at. And the feds are still snooping. Well, the next day, everyone kind of comes together. They find E.T. dying in a ditch. With a raccoon trying to take a dump on him. I don't know. They bring E.T. home. They reveal his presence to mom. This whole time she had no clue. And we hear Elliot tell mom, we're sick. I think we are dying.
Downstairs.
I'm not gonna hurt your mom.
Mommy, he's not gonna hurt you.
Michael, get her downstairs!
Man from the moon!
So Elliot's like, mom, we're dying. Mom, she's a real jerk, though. She pulls the kids out, and she's like, look, I just want E.T. to die. Again, evil humans. Parents are bad. Meanwhile, here come the feds. Now they got astronauts with them with their NASA spacesuits. They're busting in the house. Chaos ensues because they want the E.T. also. And they put a big hazmat bubble around the whole house so they can figure out what is going on with the alien, the E.T. And that's where we confirm E.T. does have the CDs. The Hindu superpowers of the Tibetan monks. He can talk and feel through Elliot. He's super intelligent.
No, sleep at night. I don't know. What's the matter with Elliot?
Have you noticed any surface sweating?
No.
Has it lost any hair?
He never had any hair.
Are the children all right?
Did it ever build anything or write anything down?
No.
Would you say it has the ability to manipulate its own environment?
He's smart. He communicates through Elliot.
What does all this mean?
Elliot thinks its thoughts.
No, Elliot. Elliot feels his feelings.
Then We also find out that through science, through an EEG scan, there's coherence between Elliot and E.T. They're doing experiments on an E.T., and Elliot feels the pain. Again, these rotten nerds and NASA astronauts and scientists, they're causing pain, inflicting pain on purpose, just because they're nosy, just because they're curious about what's going on here.
We've identified its primary carrier protein by electrophoresis. It's definitely not albumin.
Testing shows no deficits on FNF and HTS testing.
EEG analysis shows complete coherence and synchronization of brainwave activity between both subjects.
Skin biopsy reveals 9 millimeters of organized
protein. We're working on IV and oral contrast. If there's no response to 20 per kilo, let's move to hypertonic saline.
We have head starch available.
Prep 5 per kilo. CBD lung alpha. I think you get more information with 1 gram.
Fine. Add a set of cardiac enzymes.
Have no right
oxygen
to
saturation
do this.
Is 82% on room air.
You're scaring him.
None detected.
100 over
70.
You're
scaring him.
Respiratory rate 12.
Good air entry, but decreased tidal volume on the boy. Put him on O2 5 liters by nasal cannula and draw blood gas in 20 minutes.
Drop from 20 to 17 degrees centigrade.
Get a hypothermia blanket and some warm
lights.
Leave
him alone. As captured, there's an absence of spike in the gamma globulin. If you leave him alone, I can take care of him.
Get a Doppler scope in here and set me up for a 2D cardiac echo.
Skin is cool and diaphoretic.
Consider all shock etiologies. He's not perfusing at all. He needs inotropic support.
pH is down to 7.03. He's got a metabolic acidosis.
So I'm with Spielberg on this because I'm like, man, these nerds are going to kill us. And he's showing how evil the nerds are because to them, data is God. Data is the end all be all. They see E.T. and Elliot suffering. They don't care. They need the info. They got to feed the computer system, the big AI system maybe. So then we find out about this communication radar system and it's still working. In one of the suits, he says something very profound to Elliot. If you listen, he says, E.T. came here because he wanted him to. Because he wanted him to. He's been wishing, this is what the suit's saying. He's like, look, E.T. came here because I wanted him to. I've been wishing this since I was 10 years old. It's a miracle.
Elliot, that machine, what does it do?
Is it still working?
It's doing something. What?
I really shouldn't tell. He came to me. He came to me.
Elliot, he came to me too. I've been wishing for this since I was 10 years old. I don't want him to die. What can we do that we're not already doing?
He needs to go home. He's calling his people. I don't know where they are. He needs to go home.
Elliot, I don't think that he was left here intentionally. But his being here is a miracle, Elliot. It's a miracle. And you did the best that anybody could do. I'm glad he met you first.
Now, if you bought a signed copy of my first Alien book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Illusion 1, you'll know that the signature that I sign with my little message to you should resonate with this whole talk about the miracle. How this guy's been wishing for the E.T. to make himself seen and his presence on Earth, and it manifested into reality. Now, E.T., he's dying, and he starts separating the brain waves from Elliot so he doesn't accidentally kill Elliot. It's a symbiotic connection here. Both get the powers, both draining and dying at the same time, though.
Creature's pressure is bottoming out. His complexes are slow and widening.
How's the boy?
He's converting back to normal sinus rhythm.
They're separating.
Yes,
boy,
definitely separating.
Are separated. What does that mean?
The boy's coming back. We're losing E.T.
E.T., answer me, please.
Everything's going to be fine. Just relax.
So E.T.'s dead. The nerds are packing it all up. They're like, okay, no more use for us here. And the dude who was saying that he wished for E.T. to come here since he was 10, he closes E.T.'s eyes. Drew Barrymore and Mom, they both say they'll wish him to come back to life. And you hear them both literally say it out loud. They say, I wish he comes back to life. This is a magic spell. They're speaking things into existence. Also, Mom, she had a real change of heart real quick on E.T. Because, like, just 5 minutes ago, she was like, and this is what I was talking about in the past. I interviewed Mrs. Weisout, and we were talking about kids, the ultimate conspiracy. And this is what we talked about. Your circle of concern gets much smaller when you have children, when you bring life into this world. And everything you do is to protect that child. So when the E.T. shows up, Mom's like, F him, that E.T.'s dead. I gotta save Elliot. That's all I care about. My circle of care is restricted only to E.T., or only to Elliot, excuse me. But then when she finds out they're connected through consciousness, and they could both die, then all of a sudden she's got a change of heart. Now, the Wishmaster guy here, we'll call him the Wishmaster, he opens up E.T.'s casket so Elliot can say goodbye. And much like every movie where they try to kill a bad guy, they're like, you know, we're going to leave the room. Give you some privacy. So Elliot's all by himself with dead E.T. Elliot's like, I love you. And again, this is kind of like Interstellar, where love transcended dimensions and connected them, quantumly entangled. Old Matthew McConaughey and his daughter. And it was all right, all right, all right. Then boom, E.T. wakes up. He's still in the body bag. And he wears the body bag better than Tina from Nightmare on Elm Street. Going back to that, who would have thought that would have connected into this conversation a second time? But yeah, he's in the body bag. He wakes up. Elliot unzips the body bag. He hatches this plan. I'm going to get E.T. back to the woods so the communication radar can summon the Glock Bell. And, E.T. can go get scooped up by his alien ship. So, using some BMX bikes, some ingenuity, some outside-of-the-box thinking, they pull it off. Because, 12-year-olds always outsmarting these dumb adults, these idiots. So, after a pursuit of including flying the bikes through the air again, and this time past the sun. They fly past the sun, not the moon this time. And this is where we see the sun and the moon reconciling. The opposites reconciling. The alchemical transformation of man is complete. They get E.T. to the mothership. He says goodbye to all the people. Tells Elliot, I'll be right here. Pointing his finger at Elliot's head. Meaning, I'll be in your mind. Are these memories he's referring to? Is this a mental connection he's referring to? Or is this the enlightened man? Is he alchemically transformed? Mentally, he is someone different now. E.T. gets in the ship. Off he goes. Bada bing, bada boom. End of the film. Now, in conclusion, let's talk about what this movie's all about. There's three main ideas I want to present here. The first is the alchemy of man. Because the film, it ends with the music, Thus Spoke Zarathustra, which you'll recognize from 2001 A Space Odyssey, which, again, is the alchemical transformation of man as David Bowman makes contact with the alien and evolves him, just like young Elliot gets the consciousness transfer and evolves. It's first contact of man and alien connecting together. In 2001, we got David Bowman reaching the alien intelligence through the black cube, the monolith, out by Saturn. And he goes into the hotel room and is reborn as the Star Child, and he is now digital consciousness. But the alchemy and the alchemical messaging of the film is why you see the conjunction of the moon and the sun throughout the film. They're riding their bikes in front of it. Not they, but Elliot, right? He's going in front of the moon through the alien superpowers. And in the backdrops for the trick-or-treating scene, the scientists, they're approaching the house to build the lab in front of the sun. So through the science, through the aliens, we get Elliot riding his bike past the moon, past the sun. It's all connected. This is just like if you followed my analysis from March 2020 of the films The Witch and The Lighthouse, you've got these opposites, these themes. These themes represented of reconciling the opposites of the moon and the sun, the masculine and the feminine. And curiously enough, Spielberg was working on Poltergeist at the same time as E.T. So he confirmed this same, he confirmed this idea. He was working on with Tobe Hooper, by the way, a legend in the horror movie industry there, on Poltergeist. But he said E.T. represented suburban dreams. Poltergeist represents suburban nightmares. You see the opposites here? It was a mass ritual on the American public as they consumed Poltergeist and E.T. Two sides, one coin. Fiction becoming reality is another main theme. It's what I talked about in Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Huge Illusion 1. Thoughts manifesting reality. Science fiction becomes science reality. And, you know, if you didn't pick up my book, which you could have bought it on Amazon or Audible or on my Gumroad, get the signed copy with that little fun little message I was alluding to mysteriously. But Rob Ager, he's got a great breakdown of the film E.T. on his website. And part of his analysis, he talks about this. He talks about the dream illusion of this movie. Could it be that Elliot, he wants to take part of Dungeons and Dragons at the beginning, if you recall. And that's the start of the adventure. That's what in Joseph Campbell, Hero's Journey, it's the call to adventure to start the journey. And then on top of that, he sees E.T. at night, implying that he's asleep. This is all a dream. And throughout film, there was different elements of Elliot being asleep or sleepy, or he's looking through steam, implying that it's all an illusion. And Mom, she's reading Peter Pan to the kids and talking about making reality through beliefs. And then, of course, like I told you about the suit, the guy with the suit says, look, I manifested this. I wished for this to come into existence, and look, it happened. And Mommy, she's even reacting to Elliot. He says he's dying. And Elliot's, of course, referring to E.T. dying, but Mom, she's like, no, Elliot's dying. And she only cares about Elliot. Well, Rob Ager is asserting that, like, there is no E.T. Elliot's making it up. So when Mom's asking about Elliot and she's freaking out about Elliot dying, it's because he's the only one there and he's the only one dying. And at the end of the film, E.T. says, I'll be right here. And he points to Elliot's mind because it's all in his head. It's all in his dumb head. None of it's real. That's what this analysis posits. And then Sesame Street is playing on TV. You hear Big Bird. It's talking about something coming from outer space. And later, E.T.'s watching a UFO movie. And he's reading that comic strip. Remember? That informs him of the radar. The fiction created reality. Science fiction creates science reality. Now, Spielberg, he said, he even told you it came from his fantasies. He said, the film is about the relationship between a 10-year-old boy and a 900-year-old extraterrestrial space person that came directly from my childhood fantasies. Now, we could have went down a rabbit hole of, like, you know, child abuse stuff here. Because it's like, they love this idea. They mess with the young kids. And look, this E.T. is 900 years old, having a relationship with a 10-year-old boy. But we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. Because if it's in the movie, it's not a huge theme. But it could be, right? But to me, the biggest idea to take away from this film is the idea of the alien consciousness transfer. You got Elliot with the first and last letters are E.T., no coincidence. And E.T., obviously the same letters. And I thought I made this bombshell discovery when I watched it, you know, because like I said, I'm about 40 years too late to the party. I thought, oh my God, that's the same name. But then I read online other people had already connected these things. So fine. Okay. Now, what was curious is that Steven Spielberg, his first film was called The Sugarland Express. And it has a real life Sherrod in it. And guess what his name is? It's E.T. Elliot. That's his name. Very curious, right? But what does it mean? In the film, they tell you what it means. In the film, the scientist asks brother Mike, he's like, he asks if Elliot thinks his thoughts, and you know, talking about E.T. He's talking to Mike and he's like, does Elliot think his thoughts? And the brother replies, no, Elliot feels his feelings. Okay? Now, this is an idea of transcendence. This is an idea of unconditional love. This is an idea of raising your consciousness. From being, you know, wisdom is using your head and your heart. This is what Elliot's doing. He's being evolved to a higher dimension of understanding, a higher place of consciousness. Spielberg said in an interview that E.T. was a genderless plant. Which is confusing, right? Because you're like, well, that means he's less evolved. According to the occult history of mineral evolving to vegetable, vegetable evolving to animal, animal evolving to man. Yeah, the novel says E.T.'s 10 million years old. But regardless, it doesn't matter. The point is, Elliot is evolved to a higher level of consciousness, much like Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar, where love transcends dimensions. It's a higher state of being. And that's what the movie's all about. It's all about the alien evolving mankind, the alchemical process of man, the opposite conjunctions of the moon and the sun, fiction becoming reality, which is the ideas I'm presenting in User Illusion 1. I'm saying they're telling us aliens exist because they want us to manifest it into reality in a Kabbalistic magician sort of way. And in here in the movie, we've got the alien consciousness transfer wrapping up the whole package. My God. So there you go. That's my analysis of E.T. I hope you enjoyed it. I know you did. And you can get my alien book, Alien UFOs and the Occult, User Illusion 1, on Amazon or Audible. Self-narrated, by the way. Or you can get the signed copy, gumroad.com/IsaacW. Links are always in the show notes. Be sure to check out the images on my Instagram, @IsaacWeishop. Like and subscribe, and until next time, you know what to do. Stay woke.